Welcome back to the show. I'm excited to be here with you today and chat to you about why I think counting calories is a load of rubbish and why I think you should stop for very many reasons, for five reasons why I think you can stop counting calories. And I promise you, when you stop counting calories, you will have so much more headspace to go and think about and enjoy the things that you love to enjoy, and you will get great results and you will become fit and break free from any unhealthy habits holding you back, and you can get into great shape and feel mighty without counting one calorie in your day. Well, I'm just back from a trip to Cork with the kids. I had an absolutely amazing time. It was me, Joe, and Arthur and Emily. And I made a promise to myself to just compartmentalize everything in my life and just absolutely switch off and really focus on laughing and having fun. And it's exactly what I did. And I enjoyed myself so much that I was in the swimming pool the day we were coming home, the morning we were coming home, and I was actually crying for the first time ever, feeling so sad that I had to come home. And I realized that I feel like that because I have stopped letting go and being as carefree as I've been wanting to over the past while. I feel like I've ruled and regulated myself a little bit too much. Do you ever feel like that? And even something so simple, like we went for a meal and there was chicken wings on the menu, and I thought, I never order them because they're so messy. I don't like the messiness that it comes, but I love chicken wings. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to order them and really enjoy them. And I did. And we had so many nice meals out. We stayed in Cork City. We went to the Corn Store, my favourite restaurant down in Cork. We went to Market Lane and Milano's. Went to the Corn Store twice, and it was just so great to get away. It was just amazing. And I've really had a good chat with myself and promised myself to allow myself to be a little bit more carefree in my day-to-day life and not wait so long until I go away on a trip to just be silly and have fun and laugh and not be so focused on the things that I have to do in my everyday life all the time. We're not robots, isn't that right? I'm excited to chat to you today about counting calories and why I think it's so bad for you. And I'll just give you a little bit of a background with me first. So I counted calories for years and years. And it was, when I look back, it was when I was at my most unhealthy that I counted calories. It was when I was at my biggest, when I was overweight, 3 stone overweight, up and down overweight for many, many years. And I was really stuck in this food obsession world for many, many years. For many years, I absolutely hated my body. It just felt like I was too big, too fat. My stomach was too big. My arms didn't look right. I didn't like my hips. And I wasn't a size 10, nor was I ever going to be a size 10. And I wonder, listening to this now, are you thinking, God, Jessica, that's horrible that you felt that way for so long. It's easy to feel empathetic towards the person that you're listening to when it's not you. But I wonder how you think of yourself and how you feel about you. You know, I read the Sunday Independent yesterday, and Samantha Barry, she's the editor of Glamour magazine over in New York. And it was an article about her. She was being interviewed and the article was asking her why she was so successful. And she credited one of the reasons that she is successful is because she believes in herself. And she does, she says something nice to herself. I think it's twice a day or something like that. She says an affirmation in the mirror, something like, you're doing a great job. I love you. Things like that. And she's really into herself in a really great way. And she said that she believes that most Irish women wake up in the morning and say something really awful and toxic to themselves in the mirror. Did you read that article? It really stuck with me. Something so simple that she credits her success to, believing in herself. And it's true. We wake up in the morning, many of us, we get dressed, we look in the mirror, and the very first thing we say to ourselves is something shit. You're fat, you're ugly, your clothes don't fit, look at the state of you, your arms are too big, your stomach is too big, my stomach is too big, my arms are too big, I don't like how I look, I wish I looked like this, I don't like my face. And it's damaging. It's damaging the belief in ourselves. It's damaging how we face up to the world and show ourselves to the world. And it's really damaging the belief that we have in ourselves. And for many, many, many years, and I'm still a work in progress, I really hated on my body. I'm 5'10", And I have always felt too big. I've always been told I was really big. I have always felt too big. So it has been my mission to always have tried to make myself smaller. I stopped eating carbs one time. And there was a period of my life where I hardly ate any lunch at all. I was so afraid of having carbohydrates. I didn't want to go near potatoes or rice or pasta. And it made me not really care about the other parts in my life. Like, all that mattered to me for a long period of time was whether or not I was hitting a certain amount of calories and whether or not I was happy or unhappy with the weight on the scales. And my day was really defined by those two things. What did the weighing scales say? And am I eating more or less than I should be doing? I didn't allow myself to eat avocados, honey, porridge, bananas. Like, there are so many things I didn't allow myself to eat. Salmon, so many things. And what I did was, for years, is that I ate too much and then I restricted. And I ate too much and I restricted. And that for me would be like, I would eat too much at the weekends and then restrict during the week. Or I would eat too much during the nighttime and restrict myself during the day. Or I would eat too much for a long period of time and then restrict myself for a long period of time. Whatever cycle it was, I did it. I also, and I still struggle with this, if I'm being very honest, wearing baggy clothes. I've always wanted to hide my body, especially in the past, like, 5 years, 10 years. I wanted to hide myself under big baggy clothes. It all comes down to me not loving myself enough and being afraid to present myself to the world as I am now. And I have tied too much of my self-worth into my weight and how I look. And other ways that this would show up would be in terms of meal times. I would just go absolutely overboard on veg. It was never enough for me to be able to just have a portioned out bit of veg, bit of protein, bit of potatoes. I always had to like restrict massively on the carbs, but go overboard on the veg. Like, I had an overeating problem too. Like, I would try and get around making sure I only had a certain amount of calories by trying to eat like unlimited amounts of veg, or, you know, those free foods you see in Slimming World, but still get in under your calorie thing. And it's just all so manipulative, and like, to think that I could have been reading a book or enjoying my life and thinking about other things, thinking about how I could grow as a person, thinking about the avatar, my future self that I could become. To think that I spent so much time obsessing about these things is so, so crazy. I stopped counting calories, and a few years ago I decided to completely ditch diet culture. It wasn't working for me, and I knew there had to be another way. So I began on my journey of turning inwards to break free from the unhealthy habits that were holding me back and to focus on getting fit. And it worked. And that's how now, with my fellow Thrivers in my Thrive coaching program, that's where the whole thing has come from. And it works. It works. However, I want to share with you today, just scientifically, some reasons why counting calories is really holding you back and why I think you should absolutely give up the counting calories and put the focus on food quality and a healthy lifestyle instead, so that you can be fit and healthy and enjoy your best life. So first off, I want to chat to you about a study that was done. It was published in Harvard Health, but it was done in 2019 by Cell Metabolism. And they took two groups of people and they told them that they had to eat a certain amount of calories. So they were all offered meals with the same number of calories, as well as similar amounts of sugar, sodium, fat, fiber, and micronutrients. But there was one key difference. One group was given unprocessed foods and the other got ultra processed options. After 2 weeks, the group switched and ate the other type of diet for the following 2 weeks. So what they learned from this, Dr. Stanford tells us, is that people who ate the ultra-processed food gained weight. Each group was given meals with the same number of calories and instructed to eat as much as they wanted. But when participants ate the processed food, they ate 500 calories more each day on average. The same people's calorie intake decreased when they ate the unprocessed food. What's the lesson? Not all food are created equal. The brain likes foods that are healthy, that are in their natural form. So they did this study. It was published in Cell Metabolism, all about counting calories. And the conclusion that they came to was that counting calories is no good for you because you tend to not focus on the quality of food that you're eating when you're counting calories. Instead, you just tend to focus on the calories. So when you focus on the calories, you can end up eating more processed food. A processed food makes you more hungry. It makes you want to eat more food, and it makes you, on average, eat 500 calories more than the people that don't eat processed foods. I can tell you that this is the exact same for me. I can completely relate to that. If I have a bowl of cereal and it's sugary cereal, I don't know what it is, but I am absolutely starving and it does not fill me up. The same when I ever eat a McDonald's or a Supermax or a Burger King. Have you ever gone and had your dinner there if you're in like Apple Green and you're in a rush and there's no other options? It's like I eat it and it has made me more hungry than before I was when I ate it. Processed foods and me. I find processed foods so triggering. They make me want to eat more. It triggers something inside of me. And when I counted calories for so many years, it stopped me from focusing on the quality of the food I was eating. And I see it all the time now when people come to me and they ask me about like energy bars and the protein bars, that there's only a certain amount of calories in them. Yes, but some of them are really sugary and they're really unhealthy. And have you noticed when you eat one, like it feels and tastes like a really unhealthy chocolate bar because it probably is not very good for you. And I bet you your sugar levels are going to drop in about an hour's time and you're going to be absolutely famished compared to what it would have been like for you if you maybe had a banana or something else that was healthy. Your sugar levels wouldn't have gone up so high and gone up so low and crashed and then you'd have been craving so much. Like the difference between eating unprocessed food and processed food is absolutely insane. You have a much higher chance of overeating when you eat processed food. And this study absolutely proves that. This study in Cell Metabolism, published in 2017, was recommending that people stop counting calories due to new evidence. So that's the first reason why I think you can stop counting calories, that it keeps you too focused on the calories instead of the source of the food. The second biggest reason that I believe you can stop counting calories is that it promotes disordered eating. And actually, over in America, they did a study. The National Library of Medicine in the USA published a study all about all those apps that get you to count calories and the fact that they are giving people disordered eating, and that they found that a substantial percentage, 75%, I'm reading this, of participants using MyFitnessPal, and that 73% of those users perceived the app as contributing to their eating disorder. Furthermore, we found that these perceptions were correlated with eating disordered symptoms. So that there's new studies being done all the time that are showing that counting calories and using these apps and putting in your food into these apps that help you count calories and macros are actually really damaging and promoting disordered eating. Well, what is disordered eating? I certainly have had for years disordered eating. Well, the HSC describes disordered eating as an eating disorder is when you have an unhealthy attitude toward food. So I ask you now, listening to this episode, wherever you are right now, to just ask yourself, do you have an unhealthy attitude towards food? If you're being really honest with yourself. I do. I've improved so much. However, I'm still a work in progress and I can still get triggered. And these are what can show if you have disordered eating or not. So eating too much food, eating too little food, becoming obsessed with your weight and body shape. If you have an unhealthy relationship with food that's affecting your eating habits, this is usually a sign of an eating disorder or disordered eating. So symptoms of eating disorders include spending a lot of time worrying about your weight and body shape. Yep, that was me. Avoiding socializing that involves food. Okay, I never did that, but what I did do was like go really carb-free on meals out and hope nobody noticed. Eating very little food, yeah, I've done that. Making yourself sick or taking laxatives after you eat. I attempted many years ago to make myself sick, but I just couldn't do it. Exercising too much, yes. Having very strict habits or routines around food, yes. Changes in your mood, yes. Dramatic weight loss, yes. Concern about eating in public, oh yeah. Preoccupation with weight, food, calories, fat, grams, or dieting, absolutely. Complaints of constipation, cold intolerance, abdominal pain, lethargy or excess energy, absolutely, definitely the cold intolerance. Excuses to avoid mealtime, no. Intense fear of weight gain or being fat, yes. Dressing in layers to hide weight loss or stay warm, yes. Severely limiting and restricting the amounts of type of food consumed, yes. Refusing to eat certain foods, yes. Denying feeling hungry, yes. Expressing a need to burn off calories, yes. Repeatedly weighing yourself, yes. Patterns of binge eating and purging, I tried. Developing rituals around food, no. Excessively exercising, yes. Cooking meals for others without eating, yes. Missing menstrual periods, no. So I ask you, do you have disordered eating? And if you do, and you're calorie counting, you're tracking your food, in my opinion, and in many studies published, this is amplifying that disordered eating. The only way to get off that train and to heal your relationship with your food and with yourself is to cut all the stuff that is amplifying and making your triggered, your disordered eating worse. So number three, why stop counting calories? You've better things to be doing with your time. And this is my favorite thing. When I dropped that, I had more time to focus on myself and what I wanted and what my goals are out of this life and what action steps I want to follow and the person I'm becoming. And it's become much more freeing. I do have better things to do with my time than to track the food that I'm eating. And if you think about it, and I often think about it, my deathbed, when I'm lying there, what the heck am I going to regret? And I know there's some things now that I do not know what I'm going to regret. And I hope I don't regret too many things. But I promise you, any time that I have spent worrying about my body, worrying about the calories in my food, and worrying about what I weigh has been time wasted. And any time that I've already dedicated to tracking my food and counting my calories and learning about macros and grams and how many grams of protein I should be eating and how many grams of fat I should be eating, like, no, thank you. I loved my grandmother so much on my dad's side. I just thought she was so cool. She was such a traditional, lovely woman. I just mean traditional, like caring, nurturing, a real lovely woman. And she, there's no way she would say to me now, yeah, Jessica, you've still got your life to live. You're dead. She's dead now, by the way. Continue on counting calories, continue on tracking your food. That's the way to live life. No, I'd say she would say, get out, listen to the birds. Feel the sun on your skin. Go and do the things that you want to do. Make the very most out of your life and enjoy yourself and believe in yourself and have fun and put your shoulders back and show yourself to the world as you are right now. The fourth reason I believe you can stop counting calories right now is that focusing on getting healthy is so much more fun and empowering. And this is something that I do with my Thrivers in my Thrive coaching program, and it's something that I just absolutely love. I came up with the five-step framework, PAMS, a few years ago, and they're action steps that help you focus on the whole of your health and remind you every day and every week that there are so many different aspects to your health that you want to nurture. P, physical fitness. A, accountability and getting support. H, hydration. M, mental health and and S is self-care. And that when we focus on all of these five aspects of our health, we become fulfilled, we have connections in our life, we're fit, we're healthy, we're working towards all of those five things and not just going down the rabbit hole of how much am I exercising, what kind of food that I'm eating. And I think for many of us, we associate far too much our health with how we look, what weight we are and what we're eating. And there are so many aspects to our health, and there's so many aspects to our health that we ignore in the pursuit of being smaller and counting our calories. And for me, when I started to drop the food thing, and now in Thrive Coaching, like, the nutrition part is such a tiny part, because when you work on yourself, you naturally heal your relationship with food. And so many of my clients tell me that all of the time, that their relationship with food has become great because they stopped dwelling and ruminating on the food, and they actually started to do our little Thrive Mind practice a few times a week of turning inwards and reflection, and that being the key to healing your relationship with food, which over time sets you free from all this diet culture stuff. And when you focus on all aspects of your health, it becomes so much fun, because you're thinking during the week, who am I connecting with this week? Am I going to go for a sea swim? Am I reading a really good book? And these are all things that I think of now every week. And when I finish my book, because I love to read a book before bed, I'm reading Marion Keyes's new book at the moment, I'm going, okay, I need to get a new book. Oh, and I have a workout tomorrow. Oh my God, and what a lovely day to walk the dogs. And you're thinking of all these amazing things instead of, what am I eating? Am I overeating? Am I undereating? And your whole focus is switched. And when your whole focus is switched, you become eventually happy. And because you're working on all these elements of yourself. And it's remarkable and it's wonderful and it's really rewarding. And it can only happen when you reframe your health in your mind and you ditch the diet culture stuff. My fifth and final reason for recommending that you stop counting calories is simply because you don't need to count calories to get really great results. And in fact, I have only become healthy since I stopped counting calories and being obsessed with food. And when I stopped counting calories and being obsessed with food, and I went on this new journey with my fellow Thrivers of doing the Thrive Time practice of turning inwards and working on my physical movement and all the other stuff, I actually ended up getting really healthy. And a side benefit of that was that I dropped a lot of weight. And I'm proof, and my Thrivers, my fellow Thrivers, are proof that you don't need to focus on calorie counting in order for you to get fit and healthy and feel really great in your clothes. That all that stuff will come when you focus on the five-step framework, PAMS, when you focus on your physical movement, your accountability and support, your hydration, your mental health and your self-care habits, when you focus on these other things and you give yourself a chance to heal your relationship with food and heal your disordered eating, you will eventually get to a point where you are eating healthy and then you're enjoying the treats that you want to enjoy. So here's what I recommend you do instead. If you've listened to this and you're like, Jessica, shut up already. I just know I don't want to count calories anymore. Where do I start? What do I do? Well, the very first thing actually that has just come to mind is that you can join my free challenge. It's like a 5-day challenge. It gives you a little taster of Thrive Time. You can go to jessicacook.ie/challenge. However, if you don't want to do this, this is what I recommend you do instead. I recommend that you, step one, create your avatar. Create your future self. Write out the person that you want to become and all the lovely action steps that you would love to follow. Like, what being healthy means to you personally as a person. Not what it means to an app, because you've put in your height and your weight and your preferences and that app tells you what you should be eating. No, what does being fit and healthy mean to you? The second thing, once you've done that, is I recommend that you focus on all the aspects of your health, all the really lovely stuff. Focusing on your physical fitness, on your nutrition, on your self-care habits like your morning routine and your bedtime routine, on connecting with other people, on finding things that help you wind down and reduce stress and anxiety, and having a little practice that helps you turn inward and take care of yourself. And to bring you back to Samantha Barry, glamour editor, who was in the Sunday Independent yesterday, learn how to love yourself. And if you wake up in the morning and you're telling yourself that you're ugly, that you're fat, that you look bad, that is not a great start to the day. That is not you being what it means to be a thriver. You wake up in the day, you look in the mirror, and you say, I'm enough as I am. I'm enough as I am. I say that to myself frequently throughout the day. Sometimes I say something really nasty to myself. I force myself to go back to the mirror or to the point where I said it. And I look myself square on, if it's the mirror, and I say, I'm enough as I am. Or I'm safe, I'm loved, I'm enough. And when we heal and we really start to love ourselves, and when we quieten that negative inner voice, we get so much more enjoyment out of this life. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And can I just say, thank you for listening. Thank you so, so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend or somebody who you think may enjoy it, as it helps get my little podcast out to more women. It is my mission to help women over 40 get fit and help them break free from the unhealthy habits holding them back. All my love to you. See you on the next one. Bye for now.